Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com.
John, welcome back to the show. Congratulations on your first win as the head coach.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for having me on, and I appreciate that.
What did it mean to you? I know, look, there's a long career in front of you. I have that. But there's always a first. What did it mean to you?
I mean, obviously, being the son of a coach, my whole life has kind of been, well, at least the emotions on a daily basis centered around winning basketball games. And so it was a special moment to share with the team who've really been working extremely hard, the staff who lives and dies with every shot, mm-hmm. every turnover, every assist, every rebound. Just sharing the win with people that have really impacted my life, both on and off the court, and just letting them know I'm appreciative for them, what they've done for me as a person throughout the course of my life. And, yeah, of course, I tried to enjoy it. I certainly did. Like I said, being the son of a coach, Steve, I've learned that winning is hard.
Oh.
And enjoy it when it happens. So I let it sink in. I had a great time celebrating in that intimate moment with the team in the locker room after our win. And then we got on the bus, drove back, and now we're preparing for our next opportunity.
LaSalle tomorrow.
Yes.
So let's get Noah Williamson. He clocks in 26 minutes for you. This guy gets 22 points in 26 minutes and 11 boards to go with it.
Yeah.
What did you see in him, but also from his teammates, what did you see in their ability to put him in the right spot to score?
Well, he is a very skilled European big man. And we learned a lot from our first two games, Delaware and Penn, about just being more efficient on offense. And we really worked on, within the framework of what we do offensively, finding him when he's open. And we missed him a bunch in the first two games. And I thought that our guards, when they were using either a triple handoff or a pick and roll, really looked for him, found him. And to his credit, statistically, he's had two tough games to start his sophomore campaign. And as a staff, we work with him on his development and its maturity along with the skills. So he did a great job of handling the first two games and what he would probably tell you is a disappointing performance from a production standpoint, even though he's playing really hard. And it was nice to see him finish some of these shots around the basket.
No question. Josh Basco comes off the bench on a night or a day where you're 4-15 in threes. He had three of them. What did it do to open up the floor for you, John, that he was able to get you on track from that spot?
Well, we have two very dynamic ball handlers, and they're 6 foot and under 6 foot, and mm-hmm. I'm not afraid to put them on the floor together because they can create a lot of offensive opportunities for the rest of the guys on the floor without necessarily a play call. And Josh is a guy that has historically made shots throughout the course of his first 2 years. His minutes have been inconsistent, but through practice, I mean, we stat everything, and he's been one of our better shot makers, and he's trying to balance, I think, being a player that provides opportunities for others with assists and being aggressive as a scorer himself. And we needed him to look at the rim, and he's very confident in himself. And, you know, those three threes were very important for us. They came in very timely points in the basketball game.
You talked about playing two point guards. You'll play them out there sometimes, John, at the same time. What does it mean to the wear and tear on legs that you can then get one to take it up a few times, the other one to take up a few times? What does that mean long term at that position?
Well, we're playing a lot of games in the month of November. I think we're, I would say, probably the average Division I program is plays around six or seven in December. We're playing nine. And that's just the way that the scheduling calendar worked itself out. So for us, having, like you just mentioned, two players that can comfortably bring the ball up against any pressure is really an advantage for us. They're quick, they're heady, and they're really capable with the ball in their hands making decisions, and I trust them. So certainly it does give a little rest where rest would be needed, but at the same time, it gives us a little bit of a dynamic two-ball handler lineup that can get in the paint, and that's a big emphasis for us on offense. It helps us with our spacing, and it helps get towards the rim.
When Elvin Edmonds was out there, what kind of job did he do controlling the flow of the game for you?
Yeah, it was a big moment for Elvin. He made big plays for us in the last 10 minutes. Niagara, historically, the Gallagher Center, and I know this, and your partner Dick Girardi would speak to this as well, has a long Philadelphia connection because of Coach Mihalik's time and his success up there. So winning at Niagara, at the Gallagher Center, has always been tough. I spent time at Ryder and in the MAC Conference. There's this Buffalo road trip swing that you hope to go 1-1 when you make that swing. And I thought Elvin stepped up to the plate. He was very poised. And when his opportunities presented themselves, he made the right decision. And he was very aggressive, and he was very assertive, and we need that. And like I said, that combination of those two guards really gives us a dynamic playmaking offensive five-person group that under 8 minutes, Steve, a lot of times play calling is not as important as playmaking and then the decisions that come from the playmaking.
No question. All right, so this is part of this Duke Classic you're playing in. It's going to be an interesting week that the most experienced coach you'll face will be the LaSalle coach, because that's Fran Dunphy. I know you have a lot of respect for Fran as to what he does. What are some concepts, just from a pure coaching point of view, that you've looked at Fran Dunphy, especially in the offensive end, that you know a lot of coaches like and admire?
Well, first of all, Fran Dunphy is one of the best human beings, regardless of being a basketball coach, that I've ever met in my life. After we won against Niagara, one of the first 10 text messages came from Fran Dunphy. He's been a great mentor. He's my father and Coach Dunphy have coached with and against each other for so long, and him, like Speedy Morris, are just two really influential people in my life. And so what I can tell you about Coach Dunphy's teams are, one, offensively, they're going to play with confidence, with a bit of freedom. And the most productive players will have the most opportunities. And then as a whole, he preaches just being an unbelievable competitor. And throughout the course of his coaching career, his teams have been fearless. They've been underdogs and overcome the odds, and they've been connected. And I think that's something that, as I have observed him throughout the course of my life, I've taken from him and tried to use it here at Bucknell or wherever I've been as an assistant. But he's an amazing person. He's impacted so many lives in a positive way, and I really do feel honored to be on the sideline across from it. It is a bit surreal being that he's been such a mentor for so many years.
So let me ask you this, John. I'll close with this because you're going to play a Gola coming up tomorrow. When you have quick turnarounds with nine games in November, you have to. 2 days, Delaware Penn. 3 days to Niagara. 3 days to LaSalle. 3 days to Duke. 3 days to Southern Indiana. 2 days to St. Bonaventure. 3 days after that, Marist. How do you like to handle the time between games when it is condensed as to how much on-floor work and how much video work you get?
Yeah, we probably split it. We probably split it. We may even tend to spend a little bit more time with film, and maybe that's just me because of my background. I was a video mm-hmm. coordinator to start in this industry, and I've seen how that can have such an impact from a teaching perspective on players individually. But, you know, interestingly, the program right now from a scheduling standpoint is designed to prepare us for March.
Yep.
You know, once you hit the conference season, the games are structured according to what the conference calendar looks like.
Mm-hmm.
These non-conference scheduling, yeah, nine maybe is one too many in November. However, when you hit March, you have, and you get to the NCAA tournament, you have 1 day preparation, maybe two or mm-hmm. three from the selection show to the first game.
Right.
And it's a lot of chaos and media, so there's a lot of distractions. And so we're just trying to teach this group the mentality and the process required, the approach required to prepare mentally and physically. And it's been great for us. I mean, we're learning quite a bit about our group. I'm really proud of the competitive nature that our group has put on display. We had a couple, the first two halves, Delaware and Penn, were a bit rough. But we navigated that and put forth a better effort in the second half. And then, you know, we played a little bit more of a full body against Niagara. And so, yeah, to your question, we split it up, and we want to make sure this group is properly prepared as we go into the January, February, March months.
Yeah, Eric Spoelstra started in video, would have given the same answer you did. So,
yeah, no, I listen, he's made this idea of a video coordinator very yeah. popular. It is yeah. not. It is not as fun as it sounds, let
no.
me tell you.
No, 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 no. You're not watching Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. You're breaking
no,
down
I've
basketball
team. Every brand of basketball imaginable, and I do feel like I am ahead as it relates to head coaches and technology from my experience as a video coordinator. I mean, the video stuff is very natural to me, and I really find it to be very important, the technology side of the coaching industry.
Well, that was the first of many in your career, Bucknell, and I congratulate
yeah,
you on it. I'm thrilled for you. I know right back to the grind with LaSalle, and I wish you best of luck with LaSalle and eventually with Duke this week.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
Thanks, John. John Griffin, head basketball coach Bucknell, won over Niagara, and now they get LaSalle down at Gola coming up tomorrow night.